when you want the answer, when waiting feels too painful, when the pain seems to increase, when everyone feels distant and the world feels silent, and above all, you are praying to God and His response? Well, you don't think there is a response. Therefore, it's easy to think why any of it matters if the God of this world doesn't care to answer or acknowledge what you're going through. Not because you stopped believing, not because you walked away, not because you didn't love God, but because you ran toward Him and it felt like you couldn't find Him. I think one of the loneliest places a believer can find themselves is not the suffering itself. It's suffering while wondering where God is in the middle of it. The pain of what you're going through, maybe the confusion of why God feels so far away, and maybe you found yourself thinking, God, I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm trusting you. I'm trying to follow you. So why does it feel like you're silent? If any of this sounds like you, then this episode is for you. I understand that tension that you're feeling, that frustration that you're feeling towards God because you feel like you are running to Him and there's nothing. It's just silence and you're frustrated and you're angry. Before we go any further, you might even think, I know what the Bible says, but why do you keep feeling so stuck? And that's why I created my self-paced course, Untangle Your Thoughts, because many of us don't need more information. We need help understanding what it is that we're reading. We need to understand how to apply what are these thoughts, emotions, and these beliefs keeping me from feeling disconnected or really stuck in the same pattern. So inside my self-paced course, I'll walk you through processes. And right now it's 50% off. You can find the link when you head to the title of this episode, wherever you're listening, click on the title and it's right underneath the title. You'll see the description with the notes in it and you will see the link to join for 50% off. And so if I go back to this idea that you feel like you're doing everything, you're reading, you're praying, you're going to church, you just start thinking, I don't know what else I can do. And then we just start to feel disconnected from God. Because again, it's natural for our brain to start looking for explanations. What did I do wrong? Did I miss Him? Am I not hearing Him? Is He disappointed in me? Why isn't He answering? The brain hates unanswered questions, so it creates stories. Some of the stories might sound like this. He's not answering me because I'm too far gone and I've done terrible things. I don't hear Him because God just must have favorites and that's just the way it is. He blesses some and He blesses others, and this is the life that I've been dealt, and I guess this is just the way life is for me. Maybe a story is God doesn't care about my situation because there are just too many other people and things that He has to worry about. Maybe a story is why would God care since I have sinned so much and done terrible things? Does any of those stories sound like you when you're waiting in this period and you're running to God and it feels more silent? One of my husband's favorite stories in scripture, he actually preached on a Sunday on this topic in scripture, is the one about Jesus sleeping in the boat. And one version of that particular scripture says that He is sleeping on a pillow, which makes the picture of Jesus even more relaxed. If we're thinking about this moment, being on the boat, crossing over to the other side, Jesus sleeping on a pillow, we can think about the reality. Like, let's take us to that moment. The disciples are terrified. The storm is real. The danger is also very real, right? A storm, they're fishermen. They are used to storms, rain, all of that. And they're in the middle, crossing over to the other side. And this is a real threat. This isn't like something fake that they're making up or exaggerating. But what's interesting is that what bothers them the most is not the storm. It's the fact that Jesus appears to be asleep while he is asleep. The disciples weren't just afraid of the storm. They were afraid because Jesus seemed unconcerned about their safety. Like, can we think about that for a minute? Like, take yourself into the boat in the storm, knowing the things of the water, knowing the way of the water, knowing that you're a fisherman, knowing those things, but knowing that the storm is real, that you have real feelings, the danger is real. And here is Jesus, who you know and have seen miracles at this point, do miraculous things, is sleeping on a pillow in a storm. And so they're very concerned about the storm. But what bothers them most, again, hear me, is that they just think that Jesus is unconcerned about their safety. How many of you have thought, well, Jesus, I have this storm. It's real. It's not fake. I'm terrified. I don't know what this is going to look like. And you're just like, Jesus, you're asleep on a pillow. Are you even concerned? God's presence and our awareness of his presence are not always the same thing. Even though Jesus was present with them on the boat, they still had fear. They were terrified, and they still didn't, I don't want to say didn't feel his presence, but didn't acknowledge the reality of who he was. David felt abandoned. Job felt abandoned. Elijah felt abandoned. I think scripture is full of people who experienced God's presence without always feeling it, especially David, who was on the run for multiple years. I'm talking multiple years, where it just seemed like he was never going to be able to just stop running. I think there is a relationship piece we get to with God where we do trust him despite how we feel day to day, meaning we trust the promises in scripture where he says he will never leave us or forsake us. There's a big difference between quoting that scripture and knowing it from knowledge and truly believing that he really does never leave us. When we really believe that he never leaves us, then even in what feels like silence, we know he's still there. Maybe it's something of we trust him when he says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, right? That means that we can trust that even in this situation, even in this pain, even this thing that you did or that somebody did to you, whatever your situation looks like, that that thing is not separating you from the love of God. Can we trust he is near despite how near we feel him to be? Because a relationship isn't built on how we feel day to day, but on the trust that we have of the person and how trust is built through repetition in someone's character and actions. Think about relationships with people, even if it's one person that you have been able to trust. You trust them because you've seen the repetition of their character, meaning they are doing what they say they're going to do. Who they are is who they are with you, with anybody else. You don't have to question, okay, who are they going to be here? Who are they going to be there? When they say they're going to pick you up, they pick you up. When they say they're going to text, they text. And if they don't, they apologize and they give you, you know, the reason. Like, you can trust them because their character and their actions have proven that. And the reality is that God has done that for us. Everything he said he would do, he has done. But the world, the enemy, and our flesh will try to convince us that no one cares, that it's better to be alone, and that God's silence in the moment means he's abandoned us and he's left us to defend for ourselves. So then we ask ourselves, what are my beliefs about God? How am I building this relationship with him? Because are my beliefs based on how I feel and what I feel? Or can I, in those moments of feeling, acknowledge that this is real? Like, this is hard. I don't feel him, but I do know what is true. And am I expecting him to save me from everything that feels painful? And when he doesn't, he is no longer good. I'm just going to ask that question again. Am I expecting him to save me from everything that feels painful. And when he doesn't, he is no longer good. So I want you to think about this thing that you want to escape from or that you want him to take you from. And I'm not talking about really big, like things that decisions need to be made on. I may be speaking in a more general sense here. Are you just waiting for him to take it away because it feels uncomfortable? And then if he doesn't, quote unquote, take it away, are you classifying him as no longer good? I think about Psalm 23:4, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close behind me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. In the physical, we don't know what that actually looks like practically. I think it looks different for every situation. Even though I know our brain wants it to make sense, the protection and the comfort may look different than we expect because we want nothing to do with pain. And I get it. Who wants to feel pain? It's one of the reasons I created my self-paced course to help people have a starting point to begin to work through these things where they're not constantly questioning who they are, what they feel, why do they keep doing this, why they feel stuck. It's to get them to move in a forward motion. It's to help them, I should say, move in a forward motion. Because I believe that there are practical things that we need to do on our part as well. And that was one of the biggest reasons I created the self-paced course, Untangle Your Thoughts. That's 50% off right now. I think in all of this, we are not excluded in the process. How are we looking at God? Are we setting expectations on Him to just completely take us out? I want you to think about, let me go to another direction, I should say. I have a lot of friends that have kids, younger kids, and I just learn, and when I'm around them, if one of their children fall, that mom does not automatically run over. And all you moms know what I'm talking about, what I'm about to say here. They wait to hear a certain cry, a certain reaction. And if not, they don't get that. They just let the kid either cry it out or help get themselves back up. And then they're okay. It is rare that I see my friends run to their child every time they bump their head, hit their elbow, they cry, because a mom and a dad know that certain cry. You know, the cry that this is serious. And I think the Lord is the same with us. We can never learn how to regulate or lean on Him if He comes and He saves us and He rescues us all the time. And I'm saying this because I'm your big sis, okay? So I just wanted to leave you with that. Just give you something else to think and pray on. I'm here for you if you need me. If you want to get started in a more personal route, you can get my self-paced course, Untangle Your Thoughts. Or if you know you want to do more the deep inner healing work with the Lord, you can sign up for a free 20-minute consultation to begin working with me, where we can kind of create a customized plan moving forward. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life, and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because He delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.